Now it's time for our press review with Antonia Kerrigan. We've already talked about those horrific deaths in the Channel on Tuesday, 12 dead. What is the press saying about this on both sides of the Channel, Antonia?
Well, as you say, it's a horrific incident. And as you see on the front page of The Guardian, you've got this fairly violent language. Six children among the 12 dead after a boat was ripped open. Extremely visual and unpleasant language when you think about those, how those 12 people died. In the French press, there was this piece from Libération where they focus on the visit of Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin to the site of the incident on land in France. And he described the boat as looking flimsy and as less than 7 metres long. When you think that 65 people were squeezed onto that vessel, only 8 of whom had life jackets, you can very well see just what a dangerous crossing this was. Darmanin also renewed a call for a migratory pact between the UK and the EU. That's, of course, been in talks for a very long time, which stalled under former Prime Minister Boris Johnson. The Interior Minister also, of course, boasted of 1,700 officers of the law deployed in France every day to prevent these crossings. However, they clearly were not enough to save these 12 people. Let's now have a look at this piece by the BBC. They've given a by-the-numbers account of this phenomenon of crossings over the Channel. So they tell us, firstly, that more than at least 189 confirmed deaths in the Channel since 2018. That's before yesterday's incident, so it doesn't take a lot of maths. That takes us now above 200 in the past 6 years. The migrants in yesterday's shipwreck are thought to have been Eritrean, but the figures say most migrants crossing the Channel by boat are Afghan and Iranian. They also provide a comparative of UK small boats arrivals compared to Mediterranean countries like Italy, Greece and Spain. As you can see, the figures for the numbers of migrants arriving in the UK this way are dwarfed by those of the southern European countries. But what does come across strongly in the UK is this massive backlog in the processing of asylum applications. It's coming down, but it's evidence of an enormous strain on the administrative system. It's an administrative system that is not currently fit for purpose for the arrivals the UK is having by small boats.
Right, and staying on the subject of migration, this time across the Mediterranean, though, a Libyan people smuggler was shot dead on Sunday in Tripoli. Tell us more about this story, Antonia.
Yes, well, Jeune Afrique, a francophone publication, and Le Monde have this story. This man was seemingly ambushed, shot dead. He was found outside a white car that was also strafed with bullet holes. Suspect is not known. His nickname is Albija. And why we're interested in him is that he's a known people and fuel smuggler. He was also privy to talks with high-level Italian officials in 2017 about how to manage illegal immigration. He was also sanctioned by the UN Security Council in 2018 for scuppering migrant ships with the use of a firearm. So that was his existing reputation when in 2021 he was put in charge of an anti-illegal immigration unit in the Libyan Coast Guard. That's, of course, one of the types of the initiative that the EU has funded to reduce those numbers of arrivals in southern Europe. So the question is, why on earth would such an issue be delegated to someone with such a sinister reputation? And just how much money would that have made for people with his business model?
All right. And in Ireland, a fresh report reveals nearly 2,400 allegations of sexual abuse made in 308 schools over 30 years in the country.
It's absolutely chilling, the revelations in this report. The Irish Times has the headline, "Their childhood stops the day, they stopped the day the abuse started." And this is an absolutely cold piece when you look at the numbers. The article links to a searchable database where you can search the religious order running the school. These were religious-run schools. The name of the school, the number of allegations and the number of alleged abusers. To give you an idea, this is page 1 of 28. The sheer volume is vast from the 1960s to the 1990s. One of the even more uncomfortable findings is that the numbers of incidents were concentrated in special schools for special needs pupils. The Irish Independent has some of these testimonials, molested, stripped naked, etc. I won't read all of it. They describe predatory priests and teachers performing abuse in front of one another, in front of classes, and even attacks hidden under religious investments. So seemingly acting in complete impunity in these Irish schools.
All right. Well, in environment news, high temperatures and low rainfall have seen a long submerged village in Greece reemerge. What can you tell us about this?
Yes. So in the 1970s, when a reservoir was put up, was created by the construction of a dam, this village, 80 buildings were evacuated, the residents were compensated, and the whole community moved into either nearby Athens or uphill. However, as water levels fall, the former residents are very eerily seeing these buildings they left behind re-emerge. Since then, water levels, according to the vice mayor, have dropped 40 metres. The water company thinks 30% drop in water levels since just last year. Greece is, of course, on the front line of climate change here in Europe with frequent heat waves and low rainfall. And water management is an ever more pressing issue, as this story illustrates.
And finally from you, the National Geographic has a beautifully illustrated piece on the humpback whale and the revelation that they're in an elite club within the animal kingdom of using tools.
Yes, so as you say, not many species can use tools. There are chimpanzees that use sticks to open their food. Sea otters use rocks and, of course, humans. You've got me and my touchscreen. Whales, however, humpback whales have been revealed to create nets using bubbles. What they do is to catch their krill, herring and salmon. They dive down under their prey. They release these circles of bubbles, these so-called nets. And these bubbles create a visual barrier, a sort of optical illusion, which makes their prey think they can't escape. It can increase hunting efficiency sevenfold for these animals, who often hunt in groups, as you can see here. It increases their efficiency sevenfold, which is important because they migrate to extremely cold climes. Energy efficiency is everything for these mammals. And it's extremely intelligent system as well. The scientists found it's not just an indiscriminate blowing of bubbles, but they actually make the bubble rings smaller as the prey is closer. It's very targeted. There's a lot of physics involved. Scientific community is also extremely pleased to see the whales getting the recognition for their cognition and complexity, who are, as the whales are so often overshadowed by the slightly more show-offy species, the dolphins.